Hello, welcome to episode 32.
32 of Trusty Hogs. We're going to tell you all about us, and then we're going to have a guest, and they're going to tell us all about them, and then we're going to listen to your problems, and we're going to hear all about you, and then we're going to say thank you and have a good life, and we'll never meet again.
We can't wait.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Oh my God.
I know, that one actually...
Did you hurt your neck? That
I don't think I hurt my neck, but what is it, the soft palate?
Yeah.
It vibrated in a way that I've never felt before, and I feel like I've dislodged something.
It looked like you were cricking your neck in the process. I was like, oh God, she's going to hurt herself.
Do you want to check?
No, I don't want to see it. I don't want to... Close your mouth. Oh. Close your mouth.
Through the fog, step forth the trusty hogs. Yeah, you're going to give them your problems, and they will solve. Maybe they won't, and that's your problem. They'll have guests and Andrew White on the tech. Oh, it's Helen and Catherine as the trusty hogs. Trust the trusty hogs, or maybe not.
Oh my God,
I think some hummus just came out of my mouth.
Oh, Jesus.
Or a tooth. No, hummus.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You know that happens to people. They'll just be living their life and a tooth will fall out.
That's not true, Helen.
No, it does. It does.
Yeah, but it shouldn't. You know that. You understand that? It shouldn't.
I know. It shouldn't. But like, oh, a Pokemon Go notification.
Okay, pay attention.
Phone on silent.
It's an airplane mode. Thank you, Helen. How you been? What you been up to? I have something to tell you.
I vaguely know what you're going to tell me because you just mentioned it before this. I'm going to say this. I love you and I want us to get along this week in this episode.
Okay.
For anyone listening who's new,
okay.
We are actually friends.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love you so
We're
much.
We're really good friends.
Oh my God. So recently I got asked in an interview how our dynamic works. And I was like, oh, because we love each other. And honestly, the interviewer was like,
Right?
No, but like, why do you think that your personas work together? And I was like, because we trust each other.
Because we're friends.
And they're like, and I was like, no, we can only say the horrible things we say to each other because there's a love there.
We're friends.
Yeah.
But everyone's like, oh, I wonder how they got put together because they don't have the same agent. It's like, no one put us together.
Yeah, we hang out.
Oh my God.
Like, if anybody said the shit you say to me and I didn't love them, why would
I'm about to say some more shit to you.
Oh, no doubt. But also there's a trust there. Like, we believe the other person has... Anyway, people don't like it. Regardless, apparently you can't abuse your friends in public without everyone thinking
Shut
you're not
up,
really
you
friends.
Whore.
I know.
So you have clearly started... You've got, let's say, a new lease of life compared to last week.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe the kombucha we spoke about and the extras has worked
I'm
out for you.
I'm having another.
Yeah, because you've got a problem. I do... think that you go through phases like a teenage girl trying to find her personality. Okay?
You're not going to like what I have to say.
What's the new joie de vivre? What's that phrase?
I've gotten... Do you mean...
Your new thang.
Yeah, but do you mean raison d'etre?
Okay. Bless you.
No.
I hate myself.
Okay. I've gotten really into ClassPass, where you buy credits and then you can go to like any gym class in your area, and it means that you don't get bored and you don't get stuck going to the same routine in the gym.
Okay.
Because I always end up not using my gym membership, so I quit my gym membership because it was costing me too much money.
Yeah.
So then I do ClassPass. I can do it in any city I go to for a tour, but also means like I can change my routine all the time.
Wait. So you.
The other day I did a class as. A spin class that was Coachella themed at Cycle, spelled Pacycle. And
wait, spell it? Spell it?
Pacycle. It's Pscycle. Cycle. And I had
Coachella
the best time.
Themed.
It was taught by a woman called Veronique.
So what, rich American girls on MGMA
she
on bikes?
She was rich and American! Honestly, she was.
I love Kanye West.
She's no cocaine, but she learned like everyone's name, and I loved her so much. I felt so supportive, but that's not the point. What I got really into is this class called Reshape at One
Reshape.
Rebel.
Oh my God, okay.
So you do, like, it's like a HIIT class where you go from cardio to weights, but the cardio is all done on a treadmill.
Okay.
Helen, I go there at 7:30 in the morning. I get up at 6:50 in the morning and I go to this place and I get a protein shake afterwards. What? I have to stop doing that. I can't afford
cannot
them.
Wait for this phase to end. Cannot. Jesus Christ. All the endorphins she's getting now.
But
can you imagine 2 weeks' time? I'll be like, oh, fuck.
I'm 100% putting on weight from all the protein shakes I'm eating.
Yeah, well, live your life. Yeah,
fine. But more importantly, it makes me high. Like, I always have gotten a lot of endorphins from exercise, but this class, something about it. You know what it is? They don't mention anything about weight loss. They don't mention anything about body type.
Mm-hmm.
For an hour, a woman tells you how fucking strong you are. And I come out being like, I'm a machine. I am a goddess. I can start my day. Obviously, by noon, I need
a nap. Walking across a busy road in London, putting your hand out to stop a car at full speed. But not today.
I really am. And then by noon, every time I need a nap because it's way too early a start for my lifestyle.
Is it the sort of high where you're like, I should not go out with a card with this high because I will buy everything I see?
Oh, 100%. I can't bring my wallet. Of course I can't bring my wallet. It's the kind of thing where I'm like, maybe I'll jog home. Like, it's crazy.
No.
Yeah, I'm crazy after it. And then I immediately get tuckered out and need a nap. But I love them so much.
So is it the endorphins, but also a woman telling you that you're like, you can do anything if you put your mind
to it? It's actually more that. It is the endorphins. But honestly, in adulthood, you do not get people telling you what a brilliant girl you are for an hour every day. You just don't have that. And this woman just tells me I'm so strong. I look amazing. My form is amazing. I'm getting so fit right now. I'm challenging myself. I'm pushing myself. I'm going beyond my limits. I walk out and I'm like, I can be anything.
I actually want this too. I didn't realize I wanted this.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
So if I showed up and did like let's say like my fitness is very low at the moment.
Yeah.
If I showed up and did really badly, would they still be like,
yes,
you can do anything?
Yes. They'll be like, Helen, good for you. This is your hour. This
I'm
going to
shit
time.
Myself on the treadmill and they'll be like, she can do anything. Look at her shitting. Look at Helen on the treadmill shitting. Everyone, look at Helen.
No, nobody looks at each other. It's in the dark. That's my favorite part. It's in the dark. They have like club lighting.
Feel good.
Club lighting and amazing music. And somebody's just like, just do your what your best is. Forget everyone else. This is about you. This is your hour, your time, your life, your fitness.
And you don't look at each other, you genuinely don't.
No, you genuinely don't. People can't breathe, so they're like busy just being like,
this is my life, my hour, my fitness.
And at the end of it, do you all say something nice to the lady that's run the class? Yeah, she stands at the door and she's like, great work. Hey, you were great today. Hey, well done again. Hi again.
But do you give her something?
I always say thank you so much. Or
I reckon she needs it back.
Yeah, no, for sure. Or else I'll be like, you kicked my ass today.
Oh, that's nice. That's
it's
nice.
It's so fun.
Imagine how tired she is by the end of the day of telling all these fucking average women that they're doing amazing.
Excuse
like,
you.
Like, not you. Not you.
But also, I'm the most average woman in this class. These women have been going their whole lives. They're obviously like addicted.
This woman spends her whole day like screaming at women like how amazing they are, how brilliant they are, when they can't breathe and they're like, clearly not doing that well, maybe.
Yeah, fair.
And then at the end of the class, they'll just go, thank you, instead of going like, no, you're the hero.
Yeah, that's
like,
true. That's
like, we only compliment to receive compliments back, right?
Yeah, that's fair. All right? Oh, that's fair.
Your dress is nice.
You actually do look beautiful today.
I do!
You look like Sleeping Beauty. This blue, love it on you. The blonde hair, gorgeous.
Thank you.
Gorgeous.
I'm glad you're thriving.
But yeah, so obviously, like, I don't know how long this, you know, my obsessions are like.
2 weeks.
I used to be a woman
who.
2 weeks,
max.
I was an evangelist about HelloFresh. Now I'm an evangelist about ClassPass. Hit me up if you want a link. And
walkmydoggy.com, borrowmydoggy.com.
Borrow my doggy, yeah.
That phase.
I do have
quizzing
phases.
Phase. That one's nearly repeated out, which is brilliant.
No, I'm still quizzing.
Yeah, of course you are, but now you're getting into ClassPass. That lasted about 4 weeks. It was longer than normal. Let's bring on the new thing.
You're so
do you remember
right.
when it was a message a day to me and all your other friends to be like, let's do something mad. Do you want to go here? Do you want to do this?
Yeah, that's true. I am very keen.
I can't wait for the art gallery phase, which is coming up at some point.
That's
this
never
winter.
Coming.
It's coming.
It's never coming.
You say it's not it's coming, you'll be coming. Surprised.
No, I've agreed to do a half marathon with Chloe Petz, but can I tell you a secret while they're not here?
Yeah.
I don't want to. It seems really hard. And like you have to train for longer than four
no,
weeks.
No, but you can walk. You can walk. There's no rules. I remember fighting this about the London Marathon. You can walk it.
Okay. Do you think Chloe's going to be training?
No way.
Okay, great. Okay, that's really comforting.
Where is...
I'm so confident you're already much, much faster than her, so you could be walking.
I haven't run in months.
Yeah, I've seen Catherine walk and lose breath.
That's true, but I can also run, but I haven't been running for a while. But I've been doing these running classes, so I don't know.
Do you want to like have me recorded for you and Chloe when you're running along to be like, you're perfect.
That would be amazing.
You can do anything.
That would be amazing.
And then every fifth one will be like, run you fucking stupid whore.
Yes, I'd love
why
that.
Are you such dumb bitches?
You agreed to this. Why did you agree to this fucking move? Yeah, that's a good idea.
You got to run fast because everyone hates you.
If it was-
Yes, like that's sipping port.
That's actually exactly what I
mean. I don't care what anyone says. I think you guys are quite funny.
I think that's what, do you know what it is? I think when you're work, when you, what I like about the classes, I, which I think what I would like about that is when you're self-employed, you have to self-motivate a lot of the time.
Oh my God.
But for an hour, you know, three times a week, somebody else just tells me what to do. And I don't have to make a decision and I love it.
That is such a good point. I fucking love it. I think you liked about HelloFresh as well.
Yeah, exactly. No
decisions. They didn't give you any like choices as far as like how much to make, how much were you cooking for, like what you do, how you prepare it, how long it takes to make it. It's like, this is what you do. This is what you're getting.
That's so true. That's why I hate when the rules are confusing at quizzes. It's like, just tell me the rules and I'll stick to the rules. You're so wise. Interesting.
Please send me messages about what you think Catherine's new phases are, and I'll tell you if she's already done them.
Legit.
The curly girl method phase, remember that? I'm the fringe phase?
I'm still doing that. No.
Yeah, okay. No, 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 anyone watching on YouTube knows it's still thriving.
The reason that I'm, my hair is like this is because I did that TV job, but I honestly keep, I'm still doing the curly girl.
The curly girl method.
And actually, my hair is better than it has been in years health-wise. I just want it to be long again, but it will be. Anywho.
I'm looking forward to the goth phase.
No, I did that in my teens, please.
We always fall back.
Please.
I'm going to go back into my Avril Lavigne phase and start wearing ties everywhere.
I love that for
but
you.
But I never learned how to tie it, so it was always elasticated from Claire's accessories.
The love of God.
And then a boy would pull on it and make me cry.
I'll show you how to tie it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I won't learn.
Tell me, you have had a big week too.
I had a funeral.
Did you do the double act?
No. Oh, did I speak about this on the podcast?
Yeah, you said you and your mum were going to do a duo.
So basically, if anyone who doesn't know, my mum's cousin died. Rest in peace, David.
Sorry, David.
Sorry, David. I think you know,
sorry,
better
Helen.
Place, better place.
Do you believe in that?
It's from Blythe, Newcastle.
Oh, right. Better okay. place, literally better anywhere to be place. Better. Okay, fine.
And he asked if me and my mum would do the eulogies. Right? So you've already got awkward. What is it? The Irish love death, but it makes you panic.
No,
why?
I love death. I've just never heard anyone say it. It doesn't matter if I don't believe in heaven anywhere. Like the ground is better than mine. Yeah. Jesus Christ, Blythe must be bad. Okay, go on.
The only time I've heard Blythe outside of my family is on the Join the Army adverts where they're like, my name's Steve and I'm from Blythe.
Okay, yeah.
That's the only one. Okay. That's the only
born
way.
In Blythe, made, yeah, born made in a Blythe. Misogynist
made
in the
in
army.
The Navy.
Oh, yeah, made a misogynist in the Navy.
So number one, David, we don't understand his life story. I think I spoke about this last time. Like, it's a mystery. He might have worked for MI5 or MI6, but we can't tell. He disappeared for many years.
Or neither.
And then, or neither. So we were hoping that someone would show up at the funeral, like in a black suit, like Men in Black style.
Oh.
And then just sit down and then we'd all know if it was true or not. But nothing like that happened. Okay. Nothing. Okay. And then my cousin was like, oh, he'll come with like a blankie machine. Like a blankie.
That'd be exciting.
Of, like, scrap your memory. But we don't think it happened.
Okay.
My mum and me were both asked to do the eulogies. So she did the eulogy. The life one, you know, when you like say like, oh, they were like, this is what they were like and like blah, 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 blah.
Okay. What other kind of eulogy is there, Helen?
So, oh, the Helen eulogy. So this is my second eulogy.
Okay.
Okay. So my first eulogy, I crushed.
Of course.
But it was like, it was tricky because his mum was there crying and it just sort of like distracted the vibes. Do you know what I mean?
That's really
but like, I still did well. I still did well.
It just feels selfish.
And though. That eulogy was very comfortable because, not comfortable, always fucking horrible, but it was for a close friend and I knew his friends, so I knew most of the congregation, right?
Okay, fine. You knew what the audience was. The room was set up right.
We knew the vibe. I knew what I was doing and it wasn't a religious ceremony in any way.
Sure.
So I was on after someone else who like said some like lovely words, blah, blah, blah. So
okay.
This one, in a church.
Oh, wow.
Lots of people I don't know. Old grey Geordies. Very
harder
confused.
Harder crowd.
Very hard crowd. Mm-hmm. Not like, no one was there to see me.
Wow, that's weird.
They were 100% there for coffin.
Oh.
Definitely for the coffin. Because the eyes kept on going to the coffin when I was talking.
Wow.
And I was close to coffin, but not so close because you never want to like be the one that tips it.
That's no, of course
yeah,
not.
Yeah, you've got to be very careful. You tip a coffin at the funeral, no matter how good your set went or eulogy, all they will talk about is the fact the coffin tipped over.
It's true. Physical okay? comedy will always trump you.
So I will say this. Obviously in comedy, like there are certain acts that are harder to follow. Like people always find music really stressful to follow.
Yeah.
And like magic. You know,
sure.
So I went on after a tearful tribute, a poem and a Bible verse.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So the cacophony of fucks going through my mind at this point.
Yeah.
Now, David wanted a funny eulogy tribute thing.
Oh, that's why he asked you.
He wanted, and my mum as well. He was like, I want it to be like a celebration. I want it to be funny. He had one rule. Don't refer to me as a good man. Like, Oh, right? I don't know, but like that was whatever. It's your funeral, your day, you do what you want. The thing is, just because he wanted that doesn't mean that that's what the crowd want. But I feel like I've got to appease crowd and coffin. So I'm sort of like between coffin and crowd. Number one, I'm not used to going on, I'm going to call it stage. I'm pretty sure it's a pulpit.
An altar or a pulpit.
Either way.
Probably a pulpit on the altar.
And I had to get up to silence.
No one clapped you on?
No one was clapping.
Wow.
My siblings were blocking me in the pew and I had to get past them and I knocked off two of the fucking, what are they called, order of services program. As I went and everyone was just like, and I was like, oh, like, so then I had like a really big Indian the night before. I was like, oh, like trying to get up. And me and some of my cousins had talked about it because like David wanted a funny funeral and David was like, a big boy.
Okay.
Big boy. Like he wants, I mean, I know you've told me this, but like he once ate so many cream eggs in the 90s and they did a cream egg promotion that if you eat this many cream eggs, we'll send you like a lifetime supply of cream eggs. Him and his mum ate so many more cream eggs that they made them bespoke bags.
What?
As well as a lifetime supply of cream eggs. Like they both didn't stand for the last
what
like 10 years.
What does a lifetime supply look like? How many are we talking?
Well, let's put it like this. It'll be a lifetime supply for your average person, but for them it was a week.
Okay. So how many are we talking? Like 20 a day?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Like just scrambling them in the morning. Yeah. Okay. Like living the dream. Incredible. They, oh God, their house
was
the best to visit.
A cream egg omelet would be amazing.
When we were younger, it was the best to visit because it's like any, they had two fridges, one just for cans, like for tinnies. So just like pop, just constantly, like God forbid we drink water there.
What?
It was honestly, my mum always used to like be like, oh God, we've got to go to David's. I don't know if I can face it. And I'd be like in the car, like rocking back and forth. Like it's happening. Last time I went up there, we had fish and chips at 11 a.m.
Oh, yes.
And it was my first experience of celebrity. Explain. This one, this is like, no, maybe not my first because I've been doing stand-up for a while. But like first proper celebrity, I went into the fish and chip shop in Blythe with David.
Who was there?
Everyone knew him. He was a celebrity.
Oh, he was
there. Who was that? And it was amazing. We had fish chips bit butties at 11 a.m.
Oh
then I had
God.
A massive ice cream and monkey blood. And then went back to theirs. And 2 hours later, it was time for tea, which meant that we got quiche each.
What?
We each got a quiche. Like a full quiche.
That's incredible.
Incredible eating. We used to have a joke because like they always wanted to go buffet. And obviously when someone's like super plus size, you have to call ahead in advance to ask what? About so the chairs don't have
oh my God.
Sides. Do you know what I mean? For like accessibility.
Okay.
So we'd call up in advance and my mum would like be the one calling and be like, they're a big pair. Because my mum had a fear that we'd arrive at like the Chinese buffet and there would just be like the teenagers that work there on the weekends like running out the back door like, we've got a 613! Fry everything! There's not enough! Like, so then I was like, oh, I should tell all these stories for the eulogy. And me and my cousins...
You told all of these
stories? No, because the vibe was weird. But then because he wanted a funny eulogy. And then my cousins were saying in the morning, we were workshopping it at the pre-wake. And they were like, oh, like, I was like, I was thinking about starting with a round of applause, which I did do, but I did it for the coffin.
Nice.
But I was going to do, it was going to start with like, let's give a round of applause to the pool bearers for really putting a shift in today. That was going to be the opener. And then because David's mum, my aunt Lillian, died 2 months ago, we were going to say at least they had a warm up with Lillian. So they were stretched out. And that was like our warm up. And we were like, this is going to kill. This is going to kill. But the vibe was so weird. I couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't bring myself to do the joke.
You didn't do it.
So I went up and I was like, oh, it's very quiet in here. Let's have a round of applause for the coffin.
Not for David.
For the coffin.
The coffin?
I panicked.
Please tell me it went okay.
I won them round.
Oh, God.
No, I did. I told some lovely... I did a bit... I was like... So, like, David never married. And I was like, oh, like, when people don't marry, they say, oh, they're usually married to their job. But David was married to sending illegal DVDs to his cousin. And I was like, okay, that got them on side.
Gorgeous.
And then I found out afterwards there was like an agreement between David's mate Bev and the vicar that if I went too far, the vicar would cough. And then she'd create something to get me off. But no one told me that. But nothing happened. Apparently, and the vicar said after I left, when, for anyone who doesn't know, Helen's actually a stand-up comedian from Live at the Apollo.
Amazing. That reminds me, that coughing system reminds me of my dad once did mass with this bishop, I think, who whenever he felt like he was doing mass with a priest, and one of the eulogies was going on too long in the priest's mind. So when there was a breath taken, the priest just went, "Hallelujah, that'll do you."
"Hallelujah, that'll do you." Can we start doing that to each other?
That thing is incredible. Like, what a phrase. But yeah, my dad was like, "What? You can't just cut. Oh, we're just cutting him off? Okay." And I was like, "What? Why was it going on too long?" And he was just like, "Well, he was talking about his wife too much." And it was like, his wife had died. And they were like, "That'll do. We get the gist."
Okay, mine was a very quick eulogy.
Hallelujah, that'll do you.
Fucking amazing.
Absolutely incredible. Shall we bring on our guest?
We should do our guest. I just feel like it's nice for us to have a proper catch up.
No, I agree.
So I'm thriving at funerals and you're thriving at phases.
Excuse you, it's not a phase. I'm committed.
Oh no, you're right. This is lifelong.
I will be at Reshape on Tuesday morning. Now, are you ready for our guest?
Am I?
You are.
I love her. Okay.
Please welcome to Trusty Hogs, the incredible Amy Annette. Hello and welcome to our guest, Amy Annette.
Hello, Amy Annette.
Hello. Put your titties down. Put your titties down.
I've only just found out I'm a different size to what I am.
How do you mean?
So this isn't the right bra size for me.
So Helen's boobs have grown.
Had an online bra fitting.
Congrats.
And she's sad because...
Online?
No, I wasn't.
It worked.
Honestly, I was surprised as well.
No, tech can only go so far. Please.
It was incredible.
I need a lady called Susan's hands on my bosom. Awkwardly, cold fingies.
Nice.
I had a woman called Katie go... hold your tits down and swing them at the camera. I went like this.
No.
And then she went, "You're a J."
No.
And I went, "What?" And then I told my friend Frances, who's like one of my best mates.
Yeah.
And she cried because she was like, "But you're H for Helen." Oh. I took it really, because I've always been H for Helen.
But I think
I'm wearing the wrong size.
But I think J for jokes is lovely.
J for jokes.
Jokey jokes. I love
but
it.
But now I've learned so much about
tits. What's your
tits.
Back size?
I thought I was a 40, but I'm a 38.
Oh, so you've gone down on the back, bigger on the cup.
So I was doing 48 towards the end.
You're doing 48H and now you're doing
38J.
But you've gone from 48.
No, 40.
Thank God.
Whoa. How big do you think you're back in?
Thank God. I was like, you need to get back online. It's not worked out.
No, oh so basically because I was foreboobing a lot.
Yeah.
But I thought that was just because my boobs were like very expressive.
Mm. No, but they did this gorgeous thing where they sent Helen, because now she's a influencer. They sent her some free bras.
Oh my God, they're so expensive.
Oh my God,
it was literally, they just contacted me.
Who's they?
It was Curvy Kate. Incredible.
Thank you, Curvy Kate.
Hashtag
thank you, Curvy Kate. Mm. For the nicest message being like, "Hey, we liked your pilot." What the fuck? Oh, a pilot? We noticed you've got massive tits. I was like, I do have massive tits.
I love the idea of like someone creeping on like BBC comedy being like, "Who's got the tits for this?"
Yeah. And the nicest, and they were like, "Look, it's a Zoom meeting, but we can do sizing on Zoom." And I was like, "You know what? No fucking, I've never done it before."
Yeah.
New opportunity. They sent me, okay, I haven't told you this. So they sent me a selection of bras and stuff like that. They're all amazing.
Yeah, they're
obviously
beautiful.
I am still going through a slight adjustment period because I haven't worn a wire in 8 years.
Oh my God,
right?
It has a wire. Okay.
Wait, so you were doing wireless before?
Yeah.
Oh my God, how are they staying up?
Amy, were they?
This is the thing.
Were they?
My shoulders have natural dents in them now here from where my tits pull down.
I saw an osteopath once who was like, I see a lot of women your age with bosoms your size, which he found very awkward to get out. But he was like, you all have a hunch from shame walking, not wanting to walk with a straight back because to walk with a straight back is to be like quite perky.
You feel like you're peacocking.
Wow.
Exactly this. So he was like, that's your shame hump and you need to get over yourself.
Awful.
We were just saying that in the extras last week,
that's
weren't
awful.
We? Like, I'm growing my shame hump.
Yes, gorgeous.
Danke schön.
That's so sad.
But this, wait for this.
Tell me.
Completely revolutionary and revelatory. Oh my God, my vocabulary has been improving like no one's fucking business recently.
I know. Have you been reading a book again?
Yes.
I know.
No.
I knew it. I can only
Which
tell.
One?
I'm reading. I just finished Murakami After Dark.
Oh my
201
God.
Pages.
Oh my God. That's how you know it's good.
Big
when
book.
It's over 200 pages.
Big book. But I basically, she said, "I'm going to send you a sleep bra." And I went,
what
the fuck's this? She was like, tell me honest, tell me true. When you turn over in bed, do your tits slap and doesn't hurt? I was like, yeah, everyone's tits slap and it hurts.
No.
And she was like, you should not be suffering.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I'm suffering? I didn't even know. Because like, if I turn, if I don't hold them when you're sleepy.
The round of applause.
You get like a round of applause.
Clap, clap.
But it bashes and it's really easy to get your tits stuck under an arm. So like every time you turn, you've got to rearrange yourself.
Mm. Ow.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
So what's a sleep bra?
Incredible. So obviously unwired.
Sure.
But it's got little things that go here.
Between the cleavage.
That keep them in place. Not not restrictive. It's incredible. I turn now and it's just the sound of the bed struggling.
Gorgeous.
But not my boobies. And it's a real, like, I think Sunil's probably sleeping better because of it.
I think that would be quite triggering for me, though, because I remember reading Jerry Halliwell's autobiography, age, I would say, I was maybe 16, maybe younger.
That you should always wear a bra at night.
And she always, her mother told her, didn't have a nice mother, to wear a bra so that her boobs would never be saggy.
Yeah.
So from the age of, like, 16, she wore a wired bra to sleep. And then, of course, after reading it, I was like, well, I guess I must do this.
And then we all injured our back.
And then we, and like, you know, have, like, permanent scars under the bum.
Also at that age, I'm not having proper bras. Like, I've only just got my proper bras.
But also, as if I needed to do it, I didn't. I don't have any tits now. They've grown since then.
But God bless Jerry Halliwell. Neither does she.
I know, exactly. Yeah. She has more than me, but that's saying something. Yeah, like, it really truly...
It wasn't her, like, I guess actually, I was about to say it wasn't her main feature. Sorry. It was truly her main feature. The dress, the tits.
Union Jack.
The bod.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Take it back, Jerry. I understand where your trauma came from.
But it's just crazy.
I get it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But seriously, the sleep bra.
Yeah.
I would 100% look into it, babe. Just for the experience. And I know what you're saying, like you got like a trauma of like wearing a bra to bed.
Yeah.
It didn't even feel like a bra.
It just feel like a sports top kind of thing.
Yeah, but to the point where I'm like, I guarantee I'll be wearing this just as my everyday bra now.
There it is.
Like, no way.
But that was my experience in the lockdown. I got into sports bras.
Yeah.
And I suddenly was like, well, why would I wear anything else?
Yeah. But it's been really quick. Like, I've never spoken about this, but like with sports bras, the sweat is insane for me. Like, ooh, actually
interesting.
Wet. They're always like, we're breathable, but it's not. I think maybe because I'm getting them all from Berlin, I get them from Rossmann, like the super cheap, like extra L, extra large one.
Yeah, you want to go breathable.
But I'm wet. That's really interesting. Wet when I wake up.
Because obviously I'm a hashtag sweaty girl, very much my identity. Okay. So I assumed that was
Amy's sweety girl updates on Instagram more than I can
my
say.
My new content.
How sweaty are you at the moment?
I was ashamed of my sweat and then I thought, no way, this is content.
Oh no, you do. You really branded it. And by the way, as a person who sweats more because of her medication, I feel it so hard. Not even just in the summertime, it applies to me all year round.
Yes. I had this big
antidepressants make it, a lot of people sweat, by the way.
That's interesting. I am on antidepressants.
Yeah. Me too.
That could be part
is
of it.
It's my specific God. Antidepressant.
No, it's a side effect of a lot of them, especially night sweats.
Yeah, night sweats I knew about. But I've been a sweaty girl, I would say, all of my life. Pre-antidepressants, post-antidepressants.
She's a wet baby.
I'm a wet baby.
A shining star.
And I used to, I used to want to get in on the glow. You know, I was saying, no, I'm reclaiming sweaty.
Yeah.
I'm a sweaty girl.
Yeah, gorgeous.
I don't mind it. I'll share it. But I do find that I went into a pub the other day, saw a friend I hadn't seen for a very long time.
Yeah.
I went, oh, guys, I'm sorry, I'm really sweaty. And she said, you always say that when you enter the room.
Oh,
rude.
That's really rude.
Friend, let them go.
Yeah, I really want to say her name, but I shan't.
No, that's but let her go.
Because she is in the comedy industry and I do want to be booked by her for other things. But I was like, yeah, it's called charm, okay?
Yeah.
Also, we all have an opener.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's, mine is, I'm really sweaty, guys.
It's a catchphrase.
Mine is, what's up?
No, yours
it's
is
like a tick.
Holding
I
your
not.
Boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also walking into a room like, hey, boom.
Yeah. Mine is, sorry, I'm like this. We all do something.
Yes.
That's just the way it
no,
is.
No, yours is 100%. Even if you're already there, you've been there with a group of people and you've all got full drinks. Now, can I get anyone anything? Can I get anyone everything? Is everything all right? No, I can get you one. Because I'm going up, sure, I'm going to the bar now. Like, oh, I can get you one. I'll just do a round. I'll just get a round in. And then she just comes back and it's like, no one needs tap water. We're all having a great night out. And she's like, but sure, we've got to stay hydrated.
And
like, it's like, your plants that are constantly being watered and preened.
Come on, Chris.
Oh my God, Chris.
I love a round of crisps at a bar. I just think everybody wants them. Nobody ever is disappointed you brought some crisps over.
No, it's that's so
chic.
So true.
Yeah. And then you open it up to share.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh my God.
If you ever see Catherine in the wild, she'd be doing a million trips to the bar and back.
I
would. Or just random bits and bobs, people she doesn't really know but wants to like her.
And it works.
It really does.
I love paying for stuff. Really helps.
Really helps.
Yeah. But you're well?
I'm well. Yes, I saw you guys yesterday at your gig.
I know, this is so weird because it's like we were thriving yesterday, now we're thriving today.
You're very good at giggles. Well done.
Oh, please. That's the best. It was so fun. My God, on a Sunday night, to have so many cool, amazing audience members.
A lot of them are hogglets. They're fucking great.
We're very lucky. I have a question.
Tell me.
You are a comedy producer.
Yes.
In and of your own right.
Yes.
And then you also do stand-up.
Yes. Gross, isn't it?
No, it's not. But my question is, you actually like write new material and seem to improve, which is not something I would do if I also enjoyed my day job.
Oh,
where do you get the motivation for both?
That's so interesting. I mean, they feel connected.
Good.
They do feel connected.
You just slipped off the table, didn't you?
I'm so stressed by this.
We're going to let it go.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's so funny.
My brain even went, Amy just had a mistake there.
It didn't even make a sound. Like, I really nailed it for an audio capacity. But I did slip off the table like a sort of nervous child. Like, oh God, I'm here.
I'm trying to fit in. Look at my nails. I've had them painted.
Can I tell you something that'll make you feel better? I was doing a tour show in Bristol the other day and I went to Lean Against the Wall.
Yeah.
So I put my hand out to touch it, and then I kept putting my hand out. Turns out my peripheral vision betrayed me. It was much further away.
And did you find it?
No. So I almost fell, and then I was like, "Oh God, did you guys see me?" They were all like, "Yeah, yeah." No, we all saw you not make the. It's actually quite a bit further away than you thought it was
on stage.
And they were charmed.
No, because my persona on stage is, shall we say, a patronising. So when I'm
No, we were there last night.
Yeah.
It was great.
So when I'm then like diminish my own ego in any way.
Sure, you're so more high stakes.
Whereas when I do that, everyone's like, makes sense. Yeah. I actually lost a pair of sunglasses yesterday.
Fall.
She's going to fall over. She's shit herself. Oh, there's pitch coming out. Just pouring down my legs.
No, it's
I broke my sunglasses on the way to the gig yesterday. So I did that thing where I got on the tube, but I forgot to put my head in.
What?
Before the doors close. Like, you know, when you get on the tube and it's like quite busy, so you're standing by the door. And I was by the door and I was like looking out, looking down the platformy, being like, oh, like, blah, blah, blah. And then I heard the beep, beep, beep. And I was like, oh, beep, beep, beep in my head. Like, oh, beep, 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 beep. And then it went, whoom, and my sunglasses went clear. And then I turned around, like, ha, ha, ha. And there was only one woman going, ha, ha, ha. And I was like,
was she also quite tall?
No, actually. But I think she was just sort of like, I can't let this girl laugh by herself.
Oh, sure. Kind.
But I was glad because I managed to get it in. I didn't get stuck.
But
going through the tunnel.
We're still there.
Sunglasses are now like one hand. What's it called? Arm? One arm can go on and one arm is like that.
So even after that, you couldn't show Amy some kindness when she did a tiny slip off the table?
No kindness.
Well, I think that is kindness for Helen.
Oh, okay. Well, I return to my question. How do I do both?
What a question. As a modern woman.
I know. How do you have it all, Amy?
Thank you for asking. I do want to boast. It is quite similar. I think also, as you both know, when you're making stuff with lots of other people, when you have a lot of gatekeepers, decision makers, and you're like, I love this idea, this comedy show must be made.
Yeah.
But then they're like, we love it. Could it be set in Scotland? And you're like, well, we probably get a Scottish person to write that show. This show is based in London.
Big time.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how to tell this lady that she should suddenly write. You understand, it's awkward.
Yeah.
There's lots of, and I have a lot of empathy for them as someone who's been in a sort of similar-ish role. You have so many factors, so many, essentially you're trying to get people to invest in your product, mm-hmm. right? You're a young entrepreneur.
It's Dragon's Den,
but TV, which is of course a TV show itself, so it's very meta.
Is it now?
Yeah, you ever seen it?
No, I just thought the Dragon's Den was the beginning of Harry Potter number 4 when they wait for the dragons to come out the den.
Yes, no turfs. But the truth is...
Oh no, there's turfs in both Dragon's Den and...
Indie Den.
Yes.
In the den.
Is that? Yes. Which one's turfy?
Well, now I can't say it because I don't know if we're going to get sued. But,
okay, we'll bleep it out.
And actually, they will sue.
Yeah, they will. So
say it and I'll
beep. Let's just know it.
Anyway,
you're selling things, you're selling products, you're trying to get people to invest in this idea that it's like this beautiful thing you really care about. And so that, you know, when it works, it's wonderful. It's so exciting. You get the money, you get to make something, but then often you believe in something and it doesn't get made. Fine. That's just the nature of the game.
Yeah.
But in stand-up, you have an idea. You can try it that night.
Yeah.
That's what I always say about why it's the best job. Because it's like, if whatever state I'm in, I can just deal with that live that evening.
Yeah.
Oh, and you shouldn't do that every night.
Every night.
No matter what.
Little thing called therapy.
Yeah.
You heard it?
Oh, I also do that now. We talked about that on the extra.
She's just done one session.
Oh, how was it?
Well, this is, it's going back into therapy, but this is my first time doing it not in crisis.
I see.
So it's really odd going into therapy being like, I don't have a fire to put out right now. but just sort of general chat. But we've only had one session, so we did the first session, which is like the getting to know each other.
Oh yeah, the awkward one.
Yeah, oh, the one where you sort of like, you sort of say things like, I don't know if this is important, but you know it's massively important.
Yeah.
But also, you know when you're like, sometimes, do you ever have the thing where you're like, okay, I don't have a fire to put out. This is amazing. Like, look, no fires in front of me. And then the therapist is like, have you looked just a little bit behind you? Seems to be there's smoking actually. There's actually a lot of smoke. It's actually the house is on fire. And you're damn. Yeah. Smell nothing. Yeah. Yeah. So don't worry, they'll find a way to make their money.
Oh yeah, they'll trick you into
why
getting,
am I being like
yeah. you're in the pocket of big of big therapy. Oh, I don't know what
therapy.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
I don't want to retread any ground that you've done in the extras, but what kind of therapy is it? Is it
don't know yet. No, it's fine. It's basically like we've just done one session. I don't know the official name, I can't remember. It's definitely a more like artistic and sort of like what does altruistic mean?
Giving.
No. It's sort of like we're trying like to like think about the subconscious.
Holistic.
Maybe
probably.
A bit holistic. It's very different to what I've done before where I just sort of did CBT talking therapy.
Yeah.
And that was the fire putting out one. But then the first bit of therapy, it was like that year when I wasn't on the right like antidepressants. Like I had the unfortunate thing of like not going on the right one.
Yeah.
Like a year and a bit.
Yeah.
And like.
That's tough.
Yeah. So it was like that was very tricky. And this one. I probably should ask her, shouldn't I?
I'm sure it's going to be
I can't remember
though.
The words.
But also, that's such a big thing to bring up because actually I didn't quite understand how awful that was. But for a month there, I got my antidepressants like increased.
Yeah.
And it made me feel so bad.
Yeah. Like, it makes you feel worse, for sure. Like, all the things that you're on it for.
But not just like the worst I think I've ever felt out of nowhere. It was just it was honestly dreadful. And I was like, I don't know if I can cope with this. Like, I was really finding life hard.
Yeah.
And I spoke to my doctor again and I was like, I feel crazy. Like, I feel mad. Yeah. And he was just like, okay, before you come off them, could you try taking them at night instead of the morning?
Yeah.
Made it a big difference?
I'm a new woman.
Really?
And I was just like, oh, I was really going to give up on this, but actually it's helpful. I'm just like saying, I guess what I'm saying is correctly prescribed antidepressants, much better than incorrectly prescribed.
Yes. Yeah. And you should feedback constantly.
100%.
That's the thing. I think I left it so long to go on antidepressants that by the time I was on them, I wasn't a very good advocate for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, we were on the wrong. So I started on citalopram and got on them, still really miserable. But instead of me being like, they don't feel right because I've never done them before, we then doubled the dosage.
So we
went to 20, then we went to 30, then we went to 40. But each time we have dosage, we've got to stay on it for 6 weeks to see if it has a hit.
Mm.
So then that was like, how many months going through that. And then you've got to come off them to then start. We went on to venlafoxine. And then we've got to go up to the highest prescription of that. Mm. But it wasn't working. But I didn't know if I was just not doing well or they weren't working.
I know.
And also
then
we don't have a lot of...
Sertraline. Hello.
You love
She's
it.
A happy baby.
She's into that.
That's what you
She's
need to
She's a very happy hippo. She's a very happy hippo all of a sudden.
And you look it. Yeah. You're glowing. But I do think it's important to have these conversations because I remember when I first started thinking about going one, I was like, I've got a few friends on them, but I don't know the specifics. Like, I think in America, they're much more, obviously, they're much more medicated. They talk about it a lot more.
Yeah.
But they just have a much better casual understanding of what it means to be on a drug and how it might affect you. Whereas I agree, the first time I went on it, I was like, oh, well, I am a piece of shit. Right.
I knew
I was, and this drug has only made it more clear.
Is this the wrong drug for me, or am I just the wrong person? And then because like you're really low, particularly when you're on the wrong antidepressant, it's so hard to advocate for yourself and go, I think you've picked the wrong one for me.
Whereas I know more about the birth control pill, which I obviously am not on anymore because
you learn anything, you're like, oh shit.
You're like, I want to have my own personality, please.
Yeah.
But for a long time, I remember all my pals suddenly knew everything there was to know about the various different ones. You know, obviously because we were young women in the noughties, it was all about how much weight gain you had. But, you know, at least we were talking about it. At least we were sharing.
We were discussing. We were fucking discussing.
We were saying, like, my belly is bloated, not I feel crazy. But that's okay.
Yep.
That's the first steps.
Yeah, absolutely.
First step.
Oh, my God. You really fit in here. What a joy. By the way, we've never had a guest before who's brought their own talking points in case we've run out of things to say.
I mean, I know you both quite well. And
I genuinely find it offensive, though.
Me too. I'm so offended. But also endearing.
You said it's feminism facts, and I genuinely believe I do need to learn more about feminism.
Oh, everyone agrees.
Yeah.
Okay, Catherine. Oh, everyone agrees. Ask me anything about feminism and I'll give it my best shot to answer.
Okay, what's the difference between the second
Jermaine and... Greer.
No.
Next question.
You better say second wave.
I was going to say the difference between the second and third wave and actually...
She kind of nailed
the right
it.
Answer. She kind of nailed it.
I cannot believe that worked out for me, but it really fucking did. It really did. One more question.
What's the difference between Jermaine Greer
body hair.
And... And Judith Butler, you're kind
that
of right.
Is oh my mad. God.
Can all feminism
right,
just be
distilled? Let's end the podcast and burn our bras.
No, those, you got them for free. Don't burn them.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Not this one. This one's some sweet.
Not the nighttime
oh my God,
one.
Gorgeous.
Not the nighttime.
Thank you.
But you no, you're so interesting. Can all feminism be like drilled down to Jermaine Greer and body hair?
Yeah, turns out.
Wow.
If you try hard enough.
Someone should tell Judith
can
Butler.
You, can you teach me something else?
These are not really facts about feminism in so much as they are depressing facts about... women.
And you brought them here because you think we seem too happy?
No, I don't know what happened. I guess I'm an over-preparer. Okay, here's what it is. Okay, I'm an over-preparer / I had this notebook in my bag and I realized on the way here.
Adorable.
So I don't want you to think that I was like the two most talkative people I've ever met in my life will ever run out of anything to say.
The two most talkable people.
I listened to your podcast with Amy Gledhill, who might be one of the funniest women in the world.
She's
the
so
funniest woman
funny.
In the world. And a full stop, the funniest woman
so
in the world.
So funny. And at one point, she told you to be quiet. It made me laugh. So much, but I was just like, I was prepared. I was like, if I don't get to say anything, I'll get one fact out. So
oh no!
I'm here.
Oh, I hate
Catherine,
that.
Catherine, really
we're
quickly,
trash.
Side note, we need to work on
I'm trash. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
this,
to read you to
sorry,
filth.
Be better.
I've read you to filth, and
no,
I didn't
we're
mean
trash.
To. No, you're gorgeous hosts.
You came
Please.
Here thinking that there's a chance you wouldn't get to say anything. So if you were going to get to say one thing,
yeah, it would be
it'd
good.
Best be important.
I need to get this message out to the world.
That's horrible.
Catherine, we're going to be silent.
Okay, Amy.
No,
help.
No, way too
no,
much
Amy,
pressure.
Amy, forget the facts. Okay. How are you?
Oh my God, thank you for asking. I'm fine. I felt mad this morning and I had some coffee and then I thought, okay, I still feel mad. So then I had some more coffee. Mm-hmm. And then on the way here, I thought, I'm still feeling a little crazy. So I thought, you know, I was going to solve that. This coffee right here.
Oh my God.
So actually, I do need you to be filling the silence because my body is processing a huge amount of caffeine.
Also, really quickly, not to be the person that, like victim blames. That says double shot.
Oh what? My God. Amy.
Two espresso.
Have you had any water?
No.
You're a fucking moron.
I'm not in control of my life. I don't know if you know that. You say I have many jobs. Yes.
Amy's not wearing any trousers.
I'm not wearing trousers.
Amy's not wearing any trousers.
Honestly, I've been wearing these pants for 2 days.
You gotta drink some water. What color is your pee?
Barocca color.
It's the color of this notebook.
Oh my God!
That's not bad, actually.
No, it is
I've gone
bad.
Orange before.
You've gone orange.
I've gone dark orange.
No.
Have you ever gone green?
Guys, stop it! No,
I once
guys.
Urinated and it smelled like 20 guys been peeing on my toilet for about 5 years. The urine smell was insane from my tiny baby urethra.
Yeah. That's the thing. You just think, where did that come from?
Where did
I looked
that
into a diagnosis
from?
Of diabetes because for a while I was like, why does it smell so sweet?
Oh,
oh my God. I once did a shit
have.
That was literally like oil coming out of me.
Stop it, Helen.
I'm drinking like hot oil. Mm. I looked it up and it was that my body had had so many fatty foods for a good period
it has
of time
to process it out.
That my body
cope.
Just went, we can't actually deal with this oil, so we're just going to send it all out the back passage.
And God bless your bod.
God bless my bod.
Yeah.
I gave
Please
birth
stop.
To an oil bug.
I once went to a house party with, for some, I think it was Halloween, they put food colouring in the dye, but no one realised that it would make their pee black for a week. People went to hospital. They didn't realise. They didn't realise. It was terrible.
Guys, that was honestly horrific and I hated every second.
Ugh.
Amy,
no one will come.
You
Listen.
Seem really wise and sage. Do you want to give us one of your depressing facts and then we'll solve a problem?
Yeah, it's actually a quiz.
Oh my God, I love a quiz. Yeah, I mean, not as much as Catherine
sorry,
does.
Sorry, you just surprised us with a quiz?
I'm surprising you with a little quiz.
1 second. Do you want to explain how you're going to act during this or do you want just to go for it? Because Andrew was in ribbons after the Patreon episode.
Okay, why? The issue with Andrew was that he tried to give us a quiz whilst simultaneously changing the rules and the parameters of the question.
He wasn't.
I've met
he wasn't.
Andrew.
He set it up.
He's a cagey boy. No, he didn't. This stuff was changing. I don't mind if you ask me a question,
sure.
But as long as the rules that you've set in place apply thereafter.
She wants to know if she's got a buzzer sound and she wants to know with
I just don't want a fucking soft touch who's like, oh, well, Helen's losing so she can have a point. And
oh,
what?
Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah,
that.
Come on, grow
And
up.
Also, it's good to have feedback before I do the quiz because I can incorporate this.
Right?
Right, imagine if I'd done it the other way around.
We're ready.
Okay, a bit of fun. So, in check.
She didn't set up the parameters. That's exactly what you said.
Well, there might be.
Do we buzz in, or are you asking one of us each? I'm sorry, I've taken.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Wow.
Sorry. No.
Oh my God.
In check.
You know so many words, and now you care about rules. Who are you?
Feismish.
Okay. I'm just keeping your plans alive.
I will. Don't you look at the answers.
Oh my God.
Jermaine Greer.
Body hair. I will let you both answer, and then I'll tell you which one is right.
Okay.
Correct.
You can both say the same answer if you like.
Wonderful.
Okay. In check. I've got to do my question voice, my Susie Dent voice.
I love it.
In check. She's so cute, isn't she? No.
What's Susie Dent like? No, I liked it. She's kind of cute.
I'm losing confidence in this impression.
No, you got it. You
know, oh my God. Name drop.
I know. Name drop. She walked past me.
No, that's not me and her. Okay. In check is the term for unmarried women under the age of 25. A, leftovers. B, old virgin. C, over the calendar, e.g. over 30. Or D, Christmas cakes, because after the 25th, no one wants to eat them.
I know this.
Oh, do you? Go on, Helen.
Do you?
Oh, interesting. Let her tell us why.
Please.
No, I understand now why you just said that. In Japan, it's Christmas cake.
Yes.
And I know that because you said it on stage I was listening. Okay, amazing. In check. I am going to say leftovers because it's the only one of the options I remember. Beep, beep.
Good answer. Good turn.
Okay. The Czech don't seem so conservative or sexist that they would still be saying some of these. 30 feels like the modern answer.
So you want to say over the calendar.
Yeah.
E.g. You're both wrong.
No! Cake as well.
No, my babies. It's old virgin.
Jesus.
Now, obviously, this is like a sort of an aphorism, an idiom. So it translates into old virgin. But don't worry, guys. The other answers are other countries.
Yay!
Yes. Leftovers is China.
Shout out to China.
Christmas cakes after the 25th. No one eats them. Japan, as you said. And over the calendar, e.g. over 30, the Philippines.
Look at them. Mm. At least giving us the chance to the 30s. Yeah, I've been to the Philippines too, and I still didn't know that. Fascinating.
So you're still sexual to them. God bless.
Wow.
But of course, we have like spinster, you know, we have our own versions of this.
Of
most countries do. So
that's so true. You know,
we're all to blame. Yay.
And I also love the phrase spinster.
Me too.
It's just great, isn't it? Everyone thinks it's a bad thing.
There's a queer night in Dublin called Spinster, and I just think that's such a great night.
Great night.
It's a great
word. Okay. Now, what is the... No, I'll end with that one because it's depressing and fun. AKA feminist comedy.
Yay.
In the UK, what year did banks start letting women get bank accounts without their husband's approval?
Oh my God.
I know this one. It was after the First World War because the men had died and the women needed their own bank accounts. So 1919, I'm going to say.
So wrong, but so well argued.
Oh God!
Can I guess?
Yes, please.
I'm going to guess that it was much more.
You can go decade if you like. Well, you can do it too. You did it.
1940.
Okay. Still wrong.
No, you, okay. 50.
Wrong war now.
60.
I'd have said it was closer to the 60s or 70s. I'm going to say 70s.
It is 70s.
Yes!
It was 1975.
Get your own bank account.
Get your own bank account without your husband having to sign to it to be approved.
How about if you didn't have a husband?
Spinster, baby.
Oh my God.
How about if you didn't have a husband?
You had a better life.
But no banking.
But I think you could get a bank account. It's once you were married.
Oh, shit.
Also, I don't have the exact date, so I won't put this as part of the quiz,
of course.
Which we're marking as we go.
Yeah.
But it's like in the 90s that women's tax, when if you were married and you had a job, your tax automatically was submitted with your husband. But if you weren't married, you could just spin it on your own.
Jesus, don't get married.
Fucking madness.
Don't get married.
Isn't
that?
Okay,
crazy.
Final cue.
Okay, this is my one chance to at least draw.
This is the redemption round.
Okay.
Who is the oldest of the Disney princesses?
This is my question.
A, Cinderella. B, Snow White. Or C, Aurora, aka Sleeping Beauty.
One moment. Are we referring to Schneewittchen and like the original princesses in the Grimms? Or are we referring to Disney animated?
Sorry, no. We are in the Walt Disney universe here.
Okay. Options again, please.
Okay, thank you. Who of these Disney princesses is the oldest?
Mm-hmm. I believe it's Prince Di.
Prince Di. No, because it comes from the Greek. So it's Princess Essesses.
You're a fucking cunt.
It goes A, Cinderella. B, Snow White. C, Aurora. Helen.
Snow White was 13. Aurora, it was her 16th birthday that was taking her into the city, being taken by Flora, Fauna and Merriweather.
Oh my God.
So she would have been 15 for the first section of the film, 16 for the second section of the film. Cinderella, Ashputtel in the original language, obviously.
My answer is Cinderella.
One moment, please. I also believe Cinderella.
You're both correct.
Yes!
Yes!
I win the quiz!
No, but like, yes! Because I steered you there. Because I steered you there.
I win the quiz.
Winner of the quiz.
I win the quiz.
Incredible Disney
redemption round.
Absolute redemption round for Helen Bauer.
Oh my God.
Do you know that I'm like an adult Disney 13. Fan? Like beyond adult
I
Disney fan?
I do know.
Fan?
Yeah.
Okay. 13.
Yeah, I'm obsessive yeah. adult Disney fan.
No, I was 13.
Yeah. Baby, literally a baby.
Cinderella, 19.
Oh, wow.
Good to know.
Of age. So that's a good one if you're going to choose your fave. Yeah, Snow White. I have her as 14, but I can accept 13.
That was an excellent clip.
And this is the kind of feminist comedy that I love to bring. We're not laughing, we're furious.
Yay! I can't believe... Oh, my God. I was nearly so smart. And I feel like
you
I'm
were
just...
So smart. No, you did no. good. You oh were very God. Impressive.
Can I have another Disney question, please?
I don't have many more.
Amy, that was so... Round of applause for Amy, who brought her own entertainment.
Thank you.
That's a gal who didn't have friends
Can
in
I
school.
Can I ask you both a question so now? Can I ask you both a question
yes,
now?
Yes, please.
Well, we have to solve a problem. Go on.
Okay.
No, go on.
What's my current bra size?
J. 38J.
Both correct. Send Yay. Me more free bras, please.
I'd love a free bra.
Oh, yes. Of you? All of us.
Don't waste your bras
no,
on
no,
me.
No, no, no.
I can guess if you want, if you're happy.
Oh, I'll shake.
No, no, she doesn't. Oh, if you don't mind touching. Sure. Oh, you haven't asked.
Oh, incredible.
No, I sat up straight, which yeah. is the international sign for touch my bosom. Yeah?
Yeah, and you're a 38 too. You're a 38G.
Yes, I am.
Oh yeah. My God, she's so good at it. How does she do it every time?
That's my one skill.
You should work in a bra shop. I'm sorry, your career is going well, but you've got to take this talent.
Isn't that amazing?
I feel seen.
We've done three guests so far. I've got them all right.
Really? Yeah. You do it with everyone. Wow.
I have to, this is the thing. I have to fondle. Like, there's no, I can look and get vaguely
sure. Sure, sure, sure.
This but is because a true... yours is really, you've got the heft under.
Yeah.
It. You've got like.
And I'm not wearing an underwire today.
No, but this is a bra that.
She's
like,
never once asked to do me.
Your breasts are wonderfully like out.
God bless.
So like you got to go under. But yeah, thank you very much. Enjoy.
And that. It's a real redemption round.
Let me know if you need a resizing ever.
Yeah.
Do not curvy just squeeze cake. Randomly. Jesus.
We've been here before. We've been here before.
You have.
Congratulations. Okay.
Thank you. Size. I need to solve a problem of a listener.
I would love to.
Please. M, tell us. What a great guest. We've never had a quiz brought to us before. That was thrilling.
It's because I'm an exact Venn diagram between your two energies. Yeah. And I've only just realized
that. Don't make out you're not more of me than you are a Catherine. Do not try and make me.
I know what altruism meant.
And okay.
And the level of organisation.
Yeah, come on.
Handwritten quiz. Please. Don't mind if we do.
Got here on time.
Have you seen her nails? They're perfect and they match your shirt.
Thank you.
Come on.
Thank you.
Come on. All right, and we're ready.
Okay. They're quite chipped.
Hi, guys. I'm not sure if this would be a suitable question to ask Catherine and Helen on the show, as it's a bit lighthearted, but the last episode really got me thinking about something that happened a few years ago.
Ooh.
March 2019, me and my fiancé are having a few nights down in London for a concert and West End show, The Lion King.
Fucking sick!
On our last night, we were staying in the Travelodge in Wembley. On entering, we noticed the place had a strange vibe, which I assumed had been caused by the building soaking up the disappointment of England fans staying over there over the years.
Gorgeous.
Brilliant.
Nevertheless, we checked in and decided to have a nice cup of tea. I picked up the kettle and noticed a semi-dried brown patch of water underneath.
No, what? No?
I took the kettle to the sink and tipped it up and some brown liquid poured out. Oh. Really good wash in the sink, but couldn't get rid of the brown stuff. Needless to say, we decided against having a cuppa and instead I ventured out for a takeaway. A bit later on, we had
you didn't go to reception and complain?
Apparently not.
What?
A bit later on, we had a nice bath each to brush our teeth.
Thank you for saying each.
Yeah.
We checked out the next morning and left for home. But for the past 3 years, I've always wondered what that brown liquid was. And then I listened to episode 26 of Trusty Hogs, where Helen mentions the story of the dead body in the hotel water tank.
Yeah.
This leaves me with two questions for you guys. Did we potentially bathe and brush our teeth in dead body water? And should I phone the Travelodge and advise them to check their water tank in case?
Whoa.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Whoa.
Also,
wow.
What a Catherine energy to hold on to one stain for 3 years.
Excuse me. Well, first of all, yes, that part, but nothing else about that was Catherine energy, because the first thing that would have happened if I'd gotten there would have been a call to reception to tell them that my room was filthy. Mm. I'd need a different room, a brand new kettle. I'd like to see it taken out of the box, please. Mm. And there's no fucking way I'd have it bathed in the same situation if anything, like anything resembled.
And you bring your own sheets, of course.
It's a travelogue.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
You don't travel with sheets. Catherine.
Pillowcases, just a pillowcase.
Right, more therapy, please.
I bring a pillowcase.
That's fucking bad.
I don't think that's crazy.
A pillowcase isn't crazy. I bring one pillowcase.
It's so small, smaller than a pant.
Yeah.
No, you haven't seen my pants.
Trouser.
You have not seen my pants.
I bring a pillowcase. Just a pillowcase.
Just in case.
A little pillowcase.
I should do that when I got that pink eye in Leicester.
Oh, my God. Jesus. What's the name of that terrifying hotel where they found the lady in the water tank? In LA.
What?
The you were talking about. Documentary of it on Netflix, and I cannot remember it now. Yeah, they found a woman, but it's actually very common if you drink out of the.
No, stop it! No.
Well, David Odoti has material about realizing that he had dead mice in his water tank because they were dehydrated.
Has
from...
he showered in them?
Oh, yeah,
and you have to wet your water tank.
Brush his teeth, and I've stayed over his place, but disgusting. Non-sexual.
No, obviously,
as a friend,
we're
traveling in Dublin.
But do brush your teeth with bottled water in hotels is what I've
found. No, you're fine. It's good bacteria. It's just a bit of body.
The summation is that she's wondering whether or not there was body part. My first thought was obviously poo.
Can I know? It wasn't for me. Can I make a couple of assumptions here? This person does not live around hard water. There we go. I've put it out
They've
there.
Come from a soft water
People
area.
People do not fully understand kettle lime scale.
Lime scale's not brown.
No. When it's left there and unused, it rusts.
Yeah, that's also true.
It does.
Okay, but the other thing to say is it didn't seem like if you had a bath, two baths in fact, and nothing murky came out of that, it's probably fine.
It's kettle specific.
It's kettle rust. It's kettle rust. And when in doubt, taste it. No, I don't understand why people are so funny.
No, I'm so
when
sorry.
When in doubt, taste it. You pop your fingy, you lick your fingy, pop fingy in, and lick fingy again. It's not my dad would do it.
It doesn't matter how it gets in your mouth. Don't put it in your mouth.
I agree.
Oh, you know what? The best way to test anything? Pop it in your mouth.
No.
Not sure if he's the right guy for you. Pop it in your mouth. You'll know within a minute.
Helen, no.
That's so wrong.
God. No, I'm not trying to like make this, but as someone who does stay, we obviously all stay a lot of hotels.
And I complain to reception a lot of the time.
I obviously like, it's not ideal to drink rust, but in general, in hard water areas, and London is very hard water. And I know this, my dad works in sewage.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's why you could. They should have gotten a new one from reception.
That's why you should know. Don't taste
you
it.
You could have asked for anyone from reception. Yeah. But also, I'd say rust. Have a little taste. It'll probably taste like a period. Very irony. And I think that's just sort of like.
Do you know?
And remember the
Jermaine
rules?
Greer.
Yeah.
Jermaine Greer. Yeah. Everyone should taste their own blood. Yeah. And I have. You know what it tasted of? Blood. Nothing exciting. Wow. There. Very disappointed little 12-year-old
Helen. But I
think
Helen. She assumed it would taste like blood. But the blood tasted what? Of rusty kettle.
Yeah. Well, my blood is very like penny-ish. Like that smell of like when you've had like coins
sure.
in your hand.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Catherine's really upset.
I just at my core.
Do you want to talk about face masks and candles?
I'd like to talk about people having assertive enough personalities to go down and say, there's some skank on my kettle.
You should
honestly,
say.
This is my favourite problem we've ever had.
Say.
I love this person.
The thing I say is, I did see an Instagram vid, because I'm online, where someone was making tea and he put the tea bag in the kettle. He filled the kettle.
What?
Put the tea bag in the kettle. He was American, of course. Flicked it. And then like poured. And this was like the music was like, ba, 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 having a good day. Like it wasn't like,
what?
I'm a crazy person.
Oh my God,
it
was
like
crazy. Doing that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was like, day in the life, making my tea, you know? And then I was like, but you put it in the kettle. What are you doing?
What the fuck is going
on? Could be that someone made their tea in the kettle itself. Also, George Egg, another comedian.
Oh, maybe he was there.
He does a lot of stuff where he can make like a full meal in a hotel room using the Corby trouser press to do eggs, etc.
So
I'm just saying, we don't know what people do when they're alone in their hotel rooms. It could be as benign as making a cup of tea in the kettle. But he could also be, you know, making some sort of like OXO soup situation.
And I'm crazy for bringing my own pillowcase. I'm
also,
crazy.
How good does that kettle trick sound with a tea bag?
Awful.
I can't look out
awful.
It.
Well, because but you're to your point, quite because it goes through a filter at the top, right, to get rid of the lime scale. So you'd be very lime scaly.
That's true. That's also, I used to love like making a pot of tea, but with the milk in it.
What?
So then I would just pour out a pre-made tea.
You've just made your producer cry. I hope you have happy.
Oh, she's always crying. She finds this very upsetting to work on.
She doesn't enjoy this job, actually.
Wait, so you put milk in the teapot with the tea?
I did when I owned a teapot, and then I think I dropped it. But
go on.
Oh, you're upset again?
No, I was just going to tell you that my granddad used to keep old big butter boxes, you know, that you get like huge portions of butter in.
Mm-hmm. I know where butter comes from.
Like massive butter tubs.
Thank you.
And he would use them for his cereal because he couldn't fit enough cereal in a bowl, given how much he wanted.
Uh-huh. Shout out.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then he would put loads of sugar over his cornflakes.
Yeah.
And then he would pour on pre-made tea.
What?
And is so that grandfather cold. Still with us?
No, but he lived to like 92.
Okay. The cold tea or hot tea?
Hot tea and milk went into the cornflakes.
You know, it sounds insane, but then you hear about people making like butter coffee. You know, like actually,
my friend Barbara does that.
Yeah, people love
butter
it.
Coffee.
It's you just put butter in your coffee.
Like, what?
It's called bulletproof coffee. Yeah. And she's my friend's mum, but me and Barbara used to work in a cafe together. And you go for a coffee with Barbara. She takes like a spoonful of butter. And
yeah,
stirs it into
it's very chic, very New York.
Coffee.
But I mean, it sounds to like. It sounds like a diarrhea attack to me, but God
that's
bless
disgusting.
Her.
And, but I think I seek out diarrhea attacks.
Sure, that's how you know you're living.
But what does that achieve?
Empty, weightless.
Apparently tastes nice. Apparently tastes really nice.
Mm.
But you know, and also we drink the coffee that comes from the cat poo.
Excuse me?
What's the
very
that comes from the cat
famous
poo?
Type of coffee? Is kind of, I think I'm going to say it's Egyptian. I actually don't know. Comes from a specific type of cat that has. Emma's nodding, yes. Comes from a type of cat, and then they make the poo into a coffee, and that's
a
delicacy.
We drink. I don't drink that.
No,
that
one the world.
Bad.
I would love to try.
The community.
No, thank you.
Yes, we do.
Let's try it.
So what I'm trying to say is, you know, I think that does sound insane to me, putting tea in your cereal, but maybe if it was done in a sort of bougie way with a sort of paper menu, I'd be like, yes, please.
Wow. Yeah.
You know?
That's the thing.
It's marketing.
But I would also like
you
to
anything.
Try the tea with the cereal. Wow. Sounds good. Shreddies, I'm thinking, very absorbent.
Get a real hit as caffeine as well as you eat your brekkie. No bad thing.
God.
Wow.
I thought you'd be horrified. And he puts so much sugar in.
But seriously, the kettle, not a big deal. My favourite problem ever, because I've actually been able to solve this one. Taste it, move on.
No, don't taste it. That's not our advice.
That's my advice, though. And I am my
own
person.
Her question was it a dead body?
No.
I don't think so.
Not at a travel lodge. No one's getting murdered and hidden well at a travel lodge. You get murdered at a travel lodge, you're being found by the maid within 2 hours.
Yeah, that's
right.
Actually solid.
Guaranteed.
Yeah,
that's probably fair. Also, I think the one specifically at Wembley, people are too drunk to murder.
Mm.
Do you think, just in
general? Yeah, I don't think anybody hangs there sober.
No.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
I just don't think, that's not where your body's going to be. Not at that hotel.
And not the kettle.
No.
Like, you wouldn't go to the kettle.
No.
No, and I just think like bodies have a very specific smell.
Mm.
But like, do work on yourself and your own assertiveness, and when things like that, when you find mystery liquids in your hotel room, feel free to say, I deserve better.
Mm.
Yeah, okay, well, Catherine's asking you to do something, but let's just praise you really quickly for looking in first place.
And also, I hope you enjoyed The Lion King.
Whoa, oh, yeah. What a great show.
The Lion King.
What a great show.
The only monarchy I believe in.
All right.
I just can't wait for my dad to die. That's the song. I just can't wait for the king.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't wait for my dad.
I thought it was a segue. Okay.
No, just having a bit of fun.
What a great guy you are. Thank you so much for coming. You
Thanks
speak French.
Well,
you bring your own quizzes.
Thank you.
You're a bit of both of us.
Yes.
Equally disapproving of either.
Truly.
Just a great lady. Thank you so much for coming.
It's been what a treat. I mean, I can't believe I've seen this online so many times. I've heard it in my ears so many times.
Here we
and
are.
And now here I am.
Right.
Looking right down the lens.
Yeah.
Having a great time.
What
life.
You guys don't know is Em always produces this naked. So it's just, it's such a different experience when you're here.
No. Yeah. That's the one bit you can see.
Yeah. A real treat.
Yeah.
But £50 on Patreon. I know.
No,
it could be like 60. No. Okay. Amy Annette, please tell us, where can people find you? Where could they see you? What should they look out for?
Oh, wow. That's such a lovely question. And I'm prepared with my answer. Because
yes,
at the beginning, Catherine said, do you have anything to promote? And I said, no. And then she told me three or four things I should be talking about. And that's the Helen in me.
And I'm going to say that right now. Yeah. I remember them. You have a wonderful monthly gig called The Dog Park at the Bill Murray.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, would you?
Oh, it's a great gig.
It's at the Dog Park. It's at Bill Murray, as you
Thank
say.
You very much.
I shouldn't have said it. You said it so well.
Thank you.
It's the next one is on the 8th of May.
Fab. Yes,
and then there's one in June and one in July. Dates TBC.
Great.
Look out.
Get online. On the 8th of May, it's going to be Tom Allen, Charlie George, and Rosie Jones, friend of the show.
Like Rosie Jones.
Yes, of the duo. And it's really, really jolly fun. Oh my God, Tessa Coates and I do it together.
Yes, please.
It's new material. It's great stuff. I have a slightly dormant, but you know, still listenable podcast called What Women Want.
It's really good.
And What Women Want is more of What Women Want.
Yes, yeah, two guests good. Here today. And
I don't think my episode ever came out.
So I have a lot in the queue.
What?
I love you saying two guests. Me and Rosie Jones went on it together.
Yeah, it was jolly.
And like, Amy was like, "Oh yeah, we'll figure out how to release that one, edit it." It's been about 4 years.
It was just so much fun.
I don't know, but there was a lot of like touching.
Yeah, like, subscribe and you'll get there.
Okay.
Maybe it'll be a Patreon only. And what else am I doing? Yeah, check me out online, as you say.
Yeah, if you follow Trusty Hogs, which you should be, follow Catherine Bohart, follow Helen Bauer,
Amy
then Annette, we will tag on Amy Instagram, Annette and everything. On Twitter,
See my Diary of a Sweaty Girl new content series. I'm just really helping the sweaty girls.
You really are. It's great. It's
Anyone that struggles with wetness everywhere apart from puss, then 100% check it out. Yeah.
Did she rule it out?
Well, I guess we could do like what I would call a fanny sweat, but I wouldn't do like moistness due to sexual excitement.
Doing an Instagram live, I'd love to know about the specifics between where it becomes like what point is it discharge and what point is it sweat. Like I've definitely been
fascinated. Oh, that's so interesting. Is discharge the ultimate sweat? Yeah. I mean, this would be the worst nightmare for you.
Yeah, I hate this.
For Catherine, but of course, and Helen, why is it I'll invite you on.
Brown.
Oh no, God.
Thank you, Amy.